The love of God is transforming. Has anyone here been transformed by the love of God? Will you give it up for the steadfast love of the Lord? It's great. It's new every morning. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Oh, man, I remember, I just want to share a quick story, just because we're in story mode, and I love it. So hope you don't mind a story from me. I love Pastor Paul's jig. I like to do that every once in a while when I think about the Lord. Makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When I was a sophomore in college, I came here to Midland, Michigan, to Northwood University, and I sat right over in this section over here. And I remember when the love of God came into my life. I came in very good looking on the outside. Not so good looking on the inside. And everybody said, thank you, thank you. You didn't have to say that. And I remember there was a word given that morning. And I was with some new friends of mine. I worked with them at Northwood. And I walked into this church. And during worship, I saw that people in this church were not just singing songs, clapping their hands, but they were having an interaction with God that I had never seen before. And somebody gave a word from the Lord. And it was as if God himself was speaking to my heart. And all of a sudden, I knew, oh my goodness, God in heaven, he knows who I am. He knows my name. He cares about what I'm going through. And the love of God changed me forever. And I believe this morning, God cares about what you're going through. God loves you. He's for you. And he's got great things for us this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited. You guys excited? You guys look good. You smell good. It's good to be up here. Look at all of you. I have to say one more thing, or maybe two, before I start preaching. Before I do that, I always like to start out with something funny. So I heard a story about a kindergarten teacher, and they were having arts and crafts time. And there was one little girl who was drawing very intently. She was very serious. She's working really hard and drawing a picture. So the teacher decides she's going to walk over to her, and she asks her, "What are you drawing?" The little girl looked up at her and she said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." The teacher said, "Well, that is so cute. But you know, nobody really knows what God looks like." The little girl got back to her drawing. She said, "They will in a minute." They will in a minute. I like that. Just a couple more things that I want to share. You know, I think that heaven is a dream center. I'm thankful for the Dream Center people. You guys have really blessed my life, and I'm really thankful for you. And I think that heaven is a dream center. And I believe the other day the Lord spoke to me that I was to share with you that God makes dreams come true. God makes dreams come true in your life. And after I've experienced the love of God that one day, God began to move in my life, and as a college student, I was really involved in the ministries of this church, and I would be here a lot of nights. And there were a number of nights when I would stay late, when everyone else was gone, and I would walk into this sanctuary. It was dark. I didn't know how to turn the lights on then. I still don't know how to turn them on now. And I would walk up on this platform, and I would look out at all these empty pews, and I would just think to myself, God, it would be so cool to share your word with this many people, to be able to stand up here and speak. I didn't even pray a prayer. I didn't have faith for anything. I didn't pray a prayer. All I did was just dreamed. And here this morning, I'm here to tell you God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than what you can ask or imagine. God is going to make your dreams come true. Amen? Amen. All right. Now we're almost ready to get started. The title of my message this morning is Well Worthy. Well Worthy. And if you have your Bibles, you want to flip it open to Matthew chapter 8. The next thing that I wanted to say this morning, one more thing that I feel like the Lord put on my heart to say before I started preaching. During worship, Pastor Pat, he put it very well about David and how all of Israel was shaking, and God gave David courage to stand up and look that giant in the eye and say, enough. You have been defiling the people of God for too long. And this morning, I believe that God is bringing courage into people's lives. Maybe you have had a sickness, a disease, something that's in your life, maybe a past sin that has been looming over your life, bringing fear into your life. And this morning, it's time to say enough. God's people will not be afraid anymore. But we're going to tackle it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, man, I'm so excited. I want to do a dance now. Amen. All right, if you're on Matthew 8, would you say, I'm there? All right, let's all stand for the reading of the word. I have it up here on the slides. It says, when Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him, and a leper came to him and bowed down before him. He said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you're here in this place today. And you're bringing faith into this place. And your love into this place. And God, I pray that today you would open up our hearts and our minds, that you would open up the door for the message to come, that revelation would come today, and we would know you in a better way. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated if you like. So this man, the leper, he said, Lord, you're able to heal me if you can make me clean. I know that you're able to do that. How many of you know that God is able to heal every disease? He's able. God has made billions of bodies, right? He's made all of our bodies. He's the inventor of the human body. He created it. He's all powerful. He's smarter than anybody else. He's better than you think. Always. He's always better than we think. God is able to do it. But the question that this man had was, Jesus, are you willing? Are you willing, Jesus? Is God willing to give us imperfect people? Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm imperfect. Lord, are you willing to give an imperfect person something good? Me, just regular old me. Why do I deserve to receive something good from God? Lord, are you willing to do something like that? You know that I believe that healing is the greatest blessing, or health, rather, is the greatest blessing that we can receive in this life apart from salvation. Right? You don't meet too many people on their deathbed who are saying, I wish I would have closed that deal. Man, I wish that guy would have given me that $20. No, I wish I had my health back so I could be with my family. Health is the greatest blessing that we can receive in this life apart from salvation. And you know what's better than healing is health. And I believe that this morning God's going to reveal to us some things that are not only going to give us faith and revelation to receive healing from God if you're sick, but also he's going to reveal to us things that will help us to walk in health. Is that good news? Oh, it's good news. I like it. Man, you guys are awesome. I better get out my notes. I don't know where I'm going. All right. Why did this man, why did the leper think that he was not worthy to receive something from God? Why do we assume that God is not willing to do good things for us? Most likely, I'm willing to bet. I always like to look past the first question. What's the root of that question? And most likely, I'm willing to bet that the reason why we often believe that God is not willing to give us something good is because we know what we're like. We know us. We live with us. We have a sinful nature that we've been born into. What was the first thing that Adam and Eve did when sin entered the world? They hid from God. Right? And that's our natural response of the sinful nature. We hide from God. God, I can't come close to you. You are holy. But I believe that God has a solution and an answer so that you will know, and I will know this morning, that you are well worthy. Amen. Oh, man. You guys happy to be here? Yeah. I'm so happy. I love coming to church here. It's a great place to be. All right. Genesis chapter 20. There's a law in Bible study. It's called the law of first mention. And basically, for people who have gone to Bible college, I have not, so you can correct me later. But the law of first mention basically states that when something is mentioned for the first time in Scripture, the times that it comes after that follow that pattern. It's a significant time. The first mention is significant. So the first mention of someone praying for someone else and then being healed is found in Genesis chapter 20. I only put some highlights up on the slide, but I'm just going to tell you the whole story. So Abraham, him and his wife, they left Egypt, and they're heading to the country of Gerar. They're heading to Gerar, and Abraham said of his wife Sarah, "She is my sister." Now, she was technically his sister, but he was saying that to deceive Abimelech, who was the king. And you might have heard a song about Abimelech. Abimelech, 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 Abimelech. Do, 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 do. You guys know that one? That's about Abimelech. And Abimelech, he was the king of Gerar. And Abraham said to him, "Hey, this is my sister." Now, Abraham, all you wives, don't get mad about it. He had a really good reason. His reason was, so they don't kill me. Okay? But how many wives out there, Abimelech would not have to kill your husband? You would finish him off first if he tried that trick. Yeah? So he lies. He says, "She's my sister." And Abimelech decides, "Well, hey, I want this lady to be my wife, one of my wives." Right? Now, an interesting fact, a blessing, I will speak over all the ladies here. Sarah, at this point in time, I was doing my research, and many scholars believe that she was in her 80s during this time, and the king thought she was beautiful enough to be one of the wives of the queen. And all the ladies said, "Amen." One of the blessings of Abraham, he will renew your youth so that you can walk in beauty and in health all the days of your life. Amen. Amen. I receive that. So she was in her 80s. Some of the Bible scholars said 89. And we can know that that's true based on the next chapter is where they have Isaac. So they were along in their years. And so Abimelech, he takes her as his wife, and God shows up to him, and he says in a dream, I'm sorry, I'm getting all ahead of myself. God shows up to him in a dream, and he says, "You're dead." And Abimelech's bed was wet. Okay, that's not in the scripture. But if God showed up to me and he said, "You're dead," just saying. Abimelech says, "Lord, will you slay a righteous nation?" He said, "In the integrity of my heart, I did this." Did he not say, "She's my sister, and I'm her brother"? The Lord said, "All right, Abimelech, I know your heart." You know that God knows your heart? He knows your heart. He's merciful, full of grace. He said, "I know your heart, so give Sarah back to Abraham because he is a prophet." Wait a second. Right here, he's a prophet. I found out there's a laser pointer on this thing. You guys are in for a treat today. He's a prophet. What are you talking about? God, why are you calling Abraham a prophet? He just lied. All right, this is a mystery. We'll find out later. And God said, okay, God kept all of Abimelech's household from having children the whole time that Sarah was taken as his wife. And so God said to Abimelech, "Give her back. Abraham's a prophet. Despite his actions, he's a prophet." He said, "Give her back, and Abraham will pray for you, and you'll be healed." So then, we have that one up here. Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female slaves so that they could have children again. God used Abraham in his weakness. Even when Abraham was trying to deceive and protect himself and gave up his wife to be with another man, God used him in his weakness. Not only that, but Abraham had not yet received his healing, for he had not yet had Isaac. And so I want to encourage you this morning. If you're in need of a healing, that doesn't mean that God can't use you to pray for somebody and see them healed. God can use you. And you want to know what happened? Abraham was healed. The next chapter, Isaac is born. God can use you, even in your weakness. That's good news. I'm glad. Oh, man, you guys know that God's word is good. I'm sorry, I get a little ADD. I'm just thinking about Jesus and his goodness, his love and his mercy. Even in Abraham's weakness, God moved in his life. God blessed him. Not only did he use Abraham to heal, but God made him rich again. Because if you read the scriptures, Abraham, he did the same thing in Egypt. And that king, the Pharaoh, he made him rich and he sent him on his way. So then he goes and does the same thing with Abimelech, and Abimelech makes him rich again. God blesses him in his weakness. God uses him in his weakness. What is Abraham's secret? If that's so, if God will do that for Abraham, then we can conclude that God will do that for us as well. We are in the blessing of Abraham. Now I want to look at another scripture here in Numbers chapter 20. And if you, Numbers chapter 21, I'm sorry. And if you were here, for my last message, Jesus, your answer. Anybody remember that one? Jesus, your answer. We looked at this scripture in Numbers 21. But today, I believe God's got something new to show us from this chapter. This is the Israelites in the wilderness. It says they traveled from Mount Or along the route of the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient along the way. They spoke against God and against Moses, and they said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." Now that's important. That's going to be important later. Remember that one. "Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, 'We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord would take the snakes away from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, 'Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live.' So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived." All right. Anyone who looked. Now, a revelation into this story. Jesus said in John chapter 3:14, he said, "As Moses lifted up the bronze snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man shall be lifted up." Now, in that same manner, so he's saying in the same way, say this is a picture. As Moses lifted up the snake, so the Son of Man shall be lifted up. All right. You guys following me? All right, good. So I want to just look at a couple things with this story. The word serpent in the Hebrew, we have to do Hebrew and Greek here. It's CCC, all right? Sunday morning. Okay, so it's three Hebrew letters. It's the word nahash. And this first letter here, you see this Hebrew reads from right to left. This is the letter nun. Everybody say nun. That's when we're getting out of church. Hopefully earlier. The next letter here, this is the Hebrew letter chet. Chet. Everybody say chet. Look at your neighbor and say chet. This last letter, this is the Hebrew letter shin. Shin alone always stands for Shaddai. Shaddai meaning almighty, the almighty God. El Shaddai, El God, Shaddai, almighty. So we have nun, chet, shin. Now there's, in Hebrew, there are always pictures associated with the letters. And people will know the pictures. You could Google it and find out the pictures that go along with these Hebrew letters. Now this first letter, nun, it represents a fish. And a fish always represents a believer. The early church, the New Testament church, they used a fish as the symbol, right? The fish represents the believer. Now this middle letter here, this is the letter chet, and it represents a wall or a fence. So something between, something that separates. And this last letter here, shin, God, almighty. So this word serpent, if you look at the pictures, the believer, a wall, and God. The serpent, something that comes between man and God, right? Isn't that what happened in the garden? The serpent made a wall between man and God. Now, the word for bronze, this is the cool thing. This is kind of fun. Bless you teachers, this is a fun job. The word bronze always represents judgment in Scripture. Always represents judgment. And the word bronze is the same three letters as the word serpent. The word is nehosheth. It's the same three words. We have nun, chet, shin. And then we have the Hebrew letter tav. Tough. Everybody say tough. It's not that tough. The Hebrew letter tav. Now, this doesn't look all that significant here. But let me show you, this bronze, it represents judgment. The serpent represents a separation from God. This bronze, it represents judgment. Now, this doesn't look all that significant. We just added a letter at the end. But I want to show you there's ancient Hebrew and then there's modern Hebrew. Just like there's ancient Chinese and modern Chinese. And I want to show you the symbol for Toph in the ancient Hebrew. Right here. It's a cross. So the bronze represents that serpent was judged on the cross. So when the Israelites looked up at that cross, they saw my disease judged. My sin judged. Everything that stood between me and God was judged on the cross. Everything that stands between you and God, your disease, your sin, your pain, everything has been judged in Jesus. Amen. Isn't that good? Thank you, Jesus. What does this mean for us? We're just getting started. Praise the Lord. Revelation. I think that's a cool word. I love getting revelation from God. I learned something when I was at the Atlanta Dream Center two years ago. And we were in prayer one day, and the Lord showed me something, that the secrets of the kingdom of God come through revelation. The secrets of the kingdom of God come by revelation. Why is that? Because God doesn't throw his pearls to pigs. Right? He releases them to people who are wanting, who are seeking after the secrets of the kingdom of God. He brings revelation. The word revelation literally means there's a veil and it's taken away. So something was already there on the other side, and all of a sudden the veil is taken away. Now I see. Have you ever read a scripture 100,000 times, and all of a sudden it's like, now I see? Oh my goodness, I once was blind, but now I see? Well, this morning we have a revelation, I believe, that God is going to show us. And we have a veil here. I wonder if I can move this table so you can see it. And what I want to show you and talk to you about today is Holy Communion. Communion. Jesus sat with his disciples at the Last Supper, and he said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you." This marks the new covenant. And then he said, took the bread, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take it and eat." Now this, oh, dropped it. I caught it. This here, this is matzah bread. I'm going to need you guys to help me with the slides. I'm not going to mess with the battery. This is matzah bread. Now this is how they would have instructed the Levites to make this bread in the book of Leviticus. If you look at this bread, all of it, it would have been circles then. Now they make it in squares. It's got stripes on it. It's got holes pierced through it. And they always put it on a very hot griddle to burn it. Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. By his stripes we are healed. And Jesus himself and his body bore the fiery judgment of God on your behalf. Now, let's look at some other things here. And I'm excited about it. Amen. Woo! You guys learning something good? Yeah. All right, I know I am. This is fun. Oh, yes, Lord. Communion. If we look back at the story that we just read, the Israelites, why did they end up being sick, diseased? Why were they dying? It says, we detest this miserable food. Jesus said, "I am the bread that came from heaven." Jesus is the true bread of life. And when they said, "We don't want that bread anymore," sickness entered, right? Paul wrote to the Corinthians about communion. And he said, "You know, many of you guys are sick, you're weak, you're dying." And he said of them, that they did not discern the body of Christ. What does this mean? It's a mystery. He said you did not discern, and that's why you're sick and weak. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The body of Jesus provides healing for us. The cross provides healing for us. His atoning sacrifice. He bore our judgment for our sin. You know, the Israelites, they said, Lord, take Moses, pray to the Lord to take away the snakes. But if the Lord took away the snakes, they'd still be sick. They'd still be dying, right? And many times we settle for the same thing. We say, Lord, just take away the judgment. But God has a better plan. God has a greater provision for you. God has provided for you not only that you don't have to pay the judgment anymore, you don't have to pay for your sin, but on top of that, you get the reward of Jesus. You get to be blessed. You get to walk in health and healing. Is that good news? Yes. Amen. Yes. All right, let's look at, we got next slide here. This is a picture of what Jesus did on the cross. It says, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Now I want to show you really quick, next slide. These are the provisions in the sacrifice of Jesus. The word griefs, choli. It means a disease, whether internal or external. If you have pain in your body this morning, if you have a sickness that you're going through, Jesus has bore, he himself has bore our griefs. Even emotional issues, you have an emotional hurt. Somebody hurt you in the past. You have an emotional imbalance, something like that. Jesus, that internal disease, he himself bore. He was pierced for our transgressions, pesha, transgressions against an individual, a nation, or God. He took that punishment upon himself, the iniquity, Avon, the perversity, depravity, iniquity, guilt, or punishment of iniquity. Your guilt, Jesus took it. Well-being, that's the word shalom, the punishment that brought us peace. The well-being, shalom. This word means completeness, soundness, safety, welfare, peace, health, and prosperity. The punishment that brought you completeness and soundness and safety and welfare and peace and health and prosperity was upon Jesus. Because you failed because of your sinful nature doesn't mean that you don't get to receive these things. Because Jesus himself bore in his body all of these things, the punishment, so that we could receive the blessing of all these things. By his stripes we are rapha, healed, literally, of personal distress. Is there a next slide? All right. Amen. So what does this mean for us? That was a lot of information. What I believe this means for us. This morning we're going to take communion together. And I believe, as I've been studying this week, that communion is like looking at the bronze snake. Communion is a remembrance. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. When we take communion, we are reminding ourselves, he himself bore my iniquity. He carried my burden. He carried my grief. He paid for my sickness 100% fully, internal and external. He paid for my healing. Jesus himself has borne the iniquity of us all. All of your sins paid for so that you could be righteous. He became sin who knew no sin, that you and I might become the righteousness of God. That's the gospel, and that's good news. Amen. 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 He himself bore our iniquities. And one more scripture. It's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. I don't have a slide for it, but I'm going to read it. It says, "In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment." You can have confidence before God because of what Jesus did. He took your punishment and you get his reward. He's a good God. He gives you the grace to do something, and then when you do it, he rewards you for the thing that he gave you grace to do. Is that a good God? This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. One version says, as he is, so we are in the earth. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, as he is pure, so are you pure if you hope in him. There is no condemnation in Christ. That means literally, no, absolutely not, no finding of you to be guilty in Christ. And as he is, so you are in the earth. Now, it does not say, as Jesus was on the earth, so you are in the earth. It says, as he is. How is he? Jesus, this morning, is seated in heavenly places at the right hand of God. So are you in the earth. Seated at the right hand of God, does Jesus have pain in his body? So are you in the earth. Seated at the right hand of God, does Jesus have lack? So are you in the earth. Seated at the right hand of God, does Jesus have sickness? So are you in the earth. Because of what Jesus did, we are like him. And we can have confidence on the day of judgment. And I'm just going to ask the elders to come and serve us communion. And as we partake of communion, whatever you need in your life, we're going to look at that cross. This is a remembrance and a reminder of what Jesus did. If you need peace this morning, look at Jesus and say, the punishment that brought me peace was upon him. If you need healing this morning, by his stripes, I'm healed. Let's look to Jesus, and Pastor Leon is going to lead us in a song.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God.
Sing it again.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. So I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad. Yes, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. There is a fountain, it's filled with blood, and it flows from Emmanuel's veins. It came and it healed me, it came and refreshed me, it came and it washed my sin away. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, and be glad. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, and be city of our God. And there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. So I will rejoice,
I will rejoice,
and be
the night that Jesus was betrayed, he sat with his disciples. He said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for the new covenant, a covenant of righteousness by faith. This is my blood that is shed for you." And then he took the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is broken on your behalf." Let's take communion and remember his sacrifice for us. Have a time. I'm going to ask the elders to come up to the front. And we're going to have a time of prayer before we go this morning. And if you have sickness in your body, a pain in your body, internal or external, something that's hindering you, and you'd like to receive healing this morning, we're going to ask you in just a minute to come forward, and the elders are going to pray for you. And I believe that God is going to hear their prayers. Because of the blood of Jesus, you have become well worthy to receive from God. Let's all stand, and can we sing? And if you need prayer, will you come up to the front?
There is a fountain is filled with blood, and it flows from Emmanuel's veins. It came and it healed me. It came and refreshed me. It came and washed my sin away.
Declare it.
He came and he healed me.
Oh, he came.
He came.
As we were singing the song about rejoicing, I just felt like the Lord put something on my heart that there are people here today who are heavy laden with burdens. And this morning, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I believe that God is going to heal some people of some emotional things today by choosing to rejoice and worship. So we just have some more people to be prayed for, but let's pray, and then we're going to dismiss. We just sing your own song to the Lord. Just minister to the Lord. Thank you for your goodness, God. We love you, Lord. No one like you. You paid it all. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Lord, we know that you are good. There is no one like you in all the earth. Who forgives sins? Who heals diseases? Who redeems our life from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion? Who picks us up out of the miry clay and sets us on a rock? Lord, you are good, and there's no one like you, Lord. We give you all the glory. We declare in this place that every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus. Every sickness should bow to the name of Jesus this morning. Every pain, bow to the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that health and life would flow in this place. That river of life, of healing and grace would flow in this place. That we would know that by your stripes, we are healed. By your sacrifice, we are freely forgiven. You paid for our guilt. You paid for our condemnation. And you paid for our healing, Lord. And we give you all the glory. We know that you did it. We're made righteous by you. Our life, our hope, and our righteousness are in you, Lord. Bless these people as they go this week, that they would walk in the fullness of the promise and the provision of the cross. That they would walk in love and in health and in peace. I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you and make his face shine on your life. And that he would grant to you his grace and his health in everything that you do this week. If you need prayer, we're going to continue to pray, but you guys are dismissed. God bless you. Have a great week.